hey, you are wildly capable of great things. So take a deep breath, let it out. You've got this. I want to tell you guys today about Brandlink Media, a female-owned digital agency with years of experience working with businesses in Oklahoma and beyond on their branding, web design, email marketing, copywriting, and more. Remember, you are wildly capable of great things, and Brandlink Media is cheering you on. Visit www.brandlinkmedia.com to schedule a free consultation. Link in our show notes. It is my pleasure to introduce Ginny Bass Carl, nonprofit consultant and fifth generation Oklahoman. Ginny, tell us about a few defining moments of your life.
Thank you, Annie. I appreciate that, this opportunity. And so some defining moments are kind of all across the board. One would have to be a defining moment for me is when I said yes to my first job, which was in Hawaii. My first job, you know, as an adult, the first job. And I got on a plane after graduating from law school. My parents had given me a one-way ticket. And I went over there to an environment which was very unfamiliar to me. And at first, I had a pity party. And I sat in my apartment. And my boyfriend was in this mainland. And here I was there. And then I started getting involved. And probably what I got out of it the most, besides the fact that you need to put yourself out there, is that I was never a minority before. And there I was a minority. And it was a really helpful lesson that continues to teach me, you know, 35 years later. And then another big one is being divorced, getting divorced with my children and raising my children. It also showed me what really mattered, who I could count on, who obviously I couldn't, as well as it helped me just put myself out there. I had to ask for help, and that was very hard. But again, it's one of those lessons I still have a hard time with 20 some odd years later, but it's a lesson that serves me very, very well.
Wow. So you went to law school. Where did you go to school?
I went to OU Law School and undergrad.
Okay. Very cool. Yeah. My husband went to OU as well. So do you ever use your law degree? And if so, how does it kind of inform the work that you do today?
I use it in ways I didn't predict. I was going to save the world anyway, but in a more traditional, you know, legal way. I've actually only practiced law a few years out of all the years I've been out of school, but every day I use my degree. It taught me so much about researching, critical thinking, writing. My writing skills definitely improved with law school. And then just the fact that in certain circumstances, being a lawyer maybe get me into a door a little bit easier, or may let me be more believed by some people. And sometimes that's really helpful in this job I have now. I've never used my initials. I've hated using initials. It just bugs me. And I have another designation, certified advisor in philanthropy CAP. So I have both of them on because there are sometimes I have to get into with judges or attorneys. And I know it just gives me more. It gives me quicker credibility. So I use it for that, but I use it all the time. It was a great education and I'm so glad I did it.
I always ask that because my father is an attorney, but he doesn't practice, but he always says, you know, a lot of the same things you just said, of how it opens doors and how it, you know, can still be really useful, even if you're not directly practicing law. So that's really fascinating. So yeah, tell us maybe a little bit about what you did in Hawaii and why the move from Oklahoma to Hawaii.
My third year of law school for spring break, my then boyfriend and I went over there a little bit on a lark. Now remember, this is way pre-internet. So there no social media, none of that. This is 1980. See, this was spring of 1986. And there's a book, and it's the Martindale Hubbell book. And it's for each state, and it lists every single lawyer, it grades them, and it gives their background. So I went through the Honolulu section and found any possible Oklahoma connections I could find ahead of time, snail mail. And I got over there and I took my roll of quarters and I went to a payphone on the right off the beach and made calls and made appointments to, and I got taxi cabs to go interview. And I got an offer from the largest firm there. I took it. I really thought in my mind, my little romantic mind, oh, my boyfriend and I, we're going to go over and live in Hawaii, and just saw it as a vacation spot it is. But he did not do that. So I went over there, and growing up, it was a real leap in the growing up. Yeah. Because I had bought my first car on my own. I got my apartment. I went to work every day. It was really a great learning experience. But I quickly found out that, A, if you live some and work someplace that it's also primarily for you a vacation destination, it's not the same. Mm-hmm. And I missed Oklahoma and I missed the people here. I got walk crazy. I just, you know, driving around that circle, drove me nuts. That shit crazy. So I came back and because I did, I missed my boyfriend and I came back, but I never regret it. In fact, I just took my family there for the first time since 1986. And we got back last week. Amazing. And it was really good to go back. And it gave me even deeper appreciation for my time there.
Mm. Very full circle. I love that. So where over the years have you gone for fresh inspiration, or when you've been maybe a little burned out, to kind of refill your cup?
The quickest place I can go is my backyard. Usually if I have a glass of wine or other fun drink and a book and in my backyard, I am recharged. Being outside and reading and just taking that breath of air where I'm not having to engage, not having to conduct a meeting, being pulled in 10 different directions. If I can, it escapes me from work. And also when I'm outside, I don't see, you know, the dishes that need to be done or the laundry that needs to be done, all that stuff, it's gone. So being outside, that's the easiest. And then travel for me. Anytime I can go away, I'm all in when I travel. I love to experience it all. I'm even work several hours a day, but to be in a different environment and setting and to observe the people and to dive deep into the culture, that really does energize me.
So did you come right back to Oklahoma after Hawaii? And what was it like getting back to Oklahoma?
So interestingly enough, I had a really long detour, 17 years. I go over to Hawaii, I take the bar, I pass the bar there, I practice law for a very short time. I ship my car back to Long Beach, California. Wow. I fly there. Yeah, my boyfriend meets me there. We drive my little Mazda 323 red car to Dallas, and I decide to live in Dallas because that's where he is. Hmm. That is in the very, very end of December. And then in February, I took the Texas bar, and I started practicing law in Texas. Got married, had my children, got divorced, and then I came back to Oklahoma. So in Oklahoma City, I got here back in 2003. Hmm. And then I took the Oklahoma bar in 2007. So I've taken the bar three times, but don't recommend it because I didn't have any reciprocity with any state because of just the way I did. Hawaii didn't have it with any state. And so I take the bar because I want, again, that full circle thing. I'd started here in law school. I wanted to get my Oklahoma bar license. So I did that. And I'm really, really, like I said, even though I don't technically practice, I keep my Oklahoma license active, not my Hawaii or Texas license. I still have to pay the money every year, but I don't keep them active. So the requirements aren't quite as stringent.
Okay. Super interesting. So going forward, what do you imagine when you look at your future?
I've learned to write my plans in pencil. I had a Bible study teacher once tell me that, probably one of the best pieces of advice I've ever received and actually used. Back in June of 2020, when everything was in uproar, nobody knew what the heck was going on, I was asked by three very dear friends if I would head up this short-term project. And the short-term project has now become about a three-year project. Mm-hmm. And that has taught, and it has taken me in a field, housing and emergency rental assistance and homelessness and all that. But I had very little experience with. So it's given me a deep dive into that. And it's also showed me that if I am just open and I just keep all these connections going and I'm willing to say yes, maybe not as willing as I sometimes am, but if I'm willing to say yes and consider doing something that's outside my comfort zone, I'll enjoy it more. I'll learn something. And it's a way that I can give back. So I don't know what the future holds. After this is up, I'll go back to true nonprofit consulting. But even then, I get asked to do different things. And so many things sound good. I'm terrible at a buffet because it all looks so good. I don't even eat it all, but it just looks good. And it gets me excited and gets my, you know, glands salivating. Mm-hmm. And I'm the same kind of way when people talk about different opportunities, like, oh, that sounds fun. Oh, I want to do that. Oh, let's talk about that. So I do fall prey to the squirrel complex, a lot of shiny objects. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to keep it open. And like I said, write my plans in pencil. My husband retired last year and having some flexibility, and that's the nice thing about being self-employed, but having that flexibility to travel more and do different things. I'm on a lot of different boards. So I'll always be involved in the nonprofit community, but who knows how that'll play out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm going to circle back one more time. So you said you wanted to save the world. You know, what did that end up looking like in terms of your career? Like you mentioned you're a nonprofit consultant, but, you know, did you do something sort of in between that led you to the consulting work that you do now? And what's like sort of the trajectory of your career?
That's a really good question. And I really believe it has to do with having a purpose. I wake up Sunday evening I love because Monday morning comes next. And I've almost always been like that. But waking up with a purpose that's bigger than myself, that not only helps me feel fulfilled, but lets me feel like I am not wasting my time here on this earth. It's a gift. Today and every day is a gift. And God gives you only a limited amount of time. And He gives you so many ways and means to fulfill that time. And I just don't want to waste it. So when I came back to Oklahoma, I thought about looking for a similar job to what I had. My last job in Dallas, I was a law firm manager because I'd gone inactive. And then I got this opportunity to go to work for Oklahoma Medical Research Foundation. And it was in the accounting department, but I've done a lot of nonprofit work as volunteer, but I was employed by my church, but not in this capacity. And so I got to learn a lot about how the business side of nonprofits and the governance side. And then I became a fundraiser for OMRF and having that mission that more may live longer, healthier lives and helping people connect their desire to see medical research and find cures and things like that and treatments and to match that up with the work that was being done became a real motivator for me. Mm-hmm. I just kept getting involved in different organizations and to see how much need is out there and to realize, can I help at all, even a little bitty baby part in fulfilling that need and getting an amp and then becoming a consultant, I hope helps me amplify the work. Instead of just working for one nonprofit, I can do work for several and equip them to amplify their work so that, you know, it's the teach a man to fish kind of scenario. And that's how I look at consulting. If I can teach someone to fish in my particular areas, which is governance and fundraising, particularly plan, and we can do better. I have very much rosy-colored glasses, but there are things that there's so much need still out there. So I'm really driven to do what I can to fulfill some of that need.
That's amazing. So tell us about your proudest moment so far.
I just saw that question and it's like, there's so many good ones, you know, it's like proud. And I will honestly, I do have to say that in all of it, because it underlies everything. My professional life is informed by my personal life, like all of ours are. And I really think when I got divorced and I became a single parent, and now, so I did that. My kids were 10 and 5. They're now 30 and 25. And to have seen them grow into the amazing people that they are, these human beings that are doing good things and giving back, and they're off the dole. That's probably my proudest moment right there. But really to be able to know that I didn't ruin them with that divorce. I had a counselor tell me they only need one good parent. And that was true. And again, getting those sparks of hope and lighting those and letting them grow bigger. So that's definitely my proudest moment.
100 Magazine is a publication featuring 100 wildly capable women in Oklahoma City. Buy the magazine to read all 100 interviews at 100mag.com. Wildly Capable Woman podcast is produced by Sugar Free Media. You can check out our daily news podcast, News Du Jour, for a calmer space to consume the news. Music is by Joey Lavoie and Nicholas Foster. Please consider rating and reviewing this podcast if it meant something to you to help us reach other wildly capable women.